We welcome you to church today. My name is Andy. I'm one of the pastors here. And we take sermon notes every week. If you're new here, we encourage you to take notes, not only to listen and to learn from today, but how to apply today's message throughout the week. And there's discussion questions on the back and some news and notes. Feel free to grab one of these. If you don't have one or if we ran out, you can go online and all the details are on our website as well. Now, I don't know about you, but I love the fall season because it's sports season. Any sports fans in the room? Maybe you are a football fan or maybe you're a basketball fan. Maybe you're a Blue Jays fan. It's amazing that the Blue Jays are actually playing in October. So pray for our Blue Jay friends. But I'm actually a Canucks fan. So I don't know if you are a Canucks fan or not, but I love watching the Canucks. And I even have the Canucks gear. Like I have a Canucks hat, I have a Canucks jersey. And every time at TSN around 10 p.m., if I can't watch the Canucks game, I wait in anticipation on TSN to watch the Canucks. Oh, I see someone wearing a Canucks hoodie today to see if they would actually win. I wait in anticipation, in expectation, with my Vancouver Canucks hat to see if the Canucks wins a game. And in the same type of excitement and joy, it's actually Peter who says, have that same anticipation, have that same excitement when it comes to knowing Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I have been cheering the Canucks for 30 years since I've been 14. And for 30 years, I'm still waiting for a Stanley Cup. And someone in the first service said, keep waiting. But in any context, Peter is actually saying in this passage of Scripture, sometimes we put our expectations or anticipation in the things of this world that tend to let us down or to be fleeting. Now, I use the Canucks, but sometimes we put our hope in other things. Another word of it is to put our confidence. Sometimes we put our confidence or our strength on ourselves or in our culture or in the things that our world says is success, but Peter says even those things are fleeting compared to knowing Christ Jesus. And if you do have your Bibles, we're in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in front of you. Feel free to take that home with you. That's our gift to you. It's on our sermon notes. It's also on the screen behind me. But Peter is actually talking about this excitement about knowing Jesus Christ. And it's better than the Canucks winning a game or even winning the Stanley Cup. Yes, the Canucks can maybe one day do that, but it's not even in comparison, Peter says, to knowing Jesus Christ. And so he says this, when you live in a world full of entertainment or a secular world that's distracted, Peter puts it this way as followers of Jesus. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, meaning in anticipation, in excitement, set your hope on the grace that is brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. So when Jesus came, he's basically saying, put your hope, fix on your thoughts on Jesus rather than fix your thoughts on the things of this earth. As obedient children, as Pastor Tim talked about last week, we find actually a new identity in Christ Jesus. Our identity is not in the things of this world, but in Christ. As obedient children, therefore, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance or in this world, but as he said, called you to be holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. And Peter is quoting from the Old Testament. Now, before we unpack today's message and scripture, I want to share with you who Peter is. Maybe you're here today and you've never read 1 or 2 Peter. It's in the New Testament. I encourage you to read it. And Peter wrote this passage of scripture in Rome, but I want to share with you really quickly who Peter is. The first thing is that Peter was one of the earliest followers of Jesus. He was a teenager when he first met Jesus, and it was on the Sea of Galilee where Peter was actually a fisherman. Now, if you read scripture, it shows that for whatever reason that Peter was actually a terrible fisherman. It was his profession in life. Imagine me putting it this way. Imagine me going to you and you have 4 years or plus years in your education. You have perhaps 10 years under your job, and I come to you and I give you advice to your job. What would you say? Now, for you, you'd be like, what are you talking about, Andy? You don't know what I do. You don't know the education. You're just a pastor. That's most likely what people say. Some people have advice for me as a pastor. They'll say, Andy, preach longer. Andy, preach shorter. Andy, you know, be more realistic. Andy, be more exciting. Whatever that context will be. We all have different opinions, but this is amazing about Peter. Peter knew Jesus as a teenager, and it was Jesus who shouted out from the shoreline of the Sea of Galilee after a whole night of fishing, and Peter didn't catch one fish. And so Jesus is yelling off the shoreline, probably in a sarcastic way, in a fun way, hey, Peter, why don't you put your net on the other side? Imagine being Peter, you'd be like, I've been fishing all night, bro. Like, there's no way that I'm going to catch more fish. I'm coming in with nothing. And so he's like, okay, fine. He puts the net on the other side. And the scriptures say that he caught so many fish that the boat almost sank. And he recognized that this was a supernatural act. So when he experienced that, it actually set him up for success to hang out with Jesus for 3 years straight. He didn't have to work. Because he catch so many fish, he was actually rich. And because of that, he was able to follow Jesus. Now, it's important to realize that Peter was one of these key people in the New Testament called an apostle. And so 30 years later, after that time on that episode on the Sea of Galilee, he's in Rome. And he's preaching the gospel to a secular culture who never heard about Jesus before. They believed in the supernatural. They believed in worshiping other gods or even worshiping themselves. But to worship someone who was raised from the dead and only to worship Jesus seemed a little weird. But he's in Rome and he's trying to share this Jesus, this hope in Jesus. And so 1 Peter, when he writes it, he's with his wife in Rome and he's writing it to the persecuted church. There's persecution starting to rise. 2 Peter, he's in prison waiting to be executed. And so this is why we can, as followers of Jesus today, trust Peter's words. Because his words were not just words. They were in action. They actually mattered. So Peter actually preached, and he lived out what he was preaching. So many times, especially in our information overload age, you can find information and find anything you want on YouTube, but there's no per action of what that information goes to. It doesn't always lead to truth or well-being. But when it comes to the scriptures, this is information that has the opportunity to transform our lives, to become more like Jesus. So Peter lived out his faith, and this is really important for us because we are called to live out our faith. And Peter is saying that because Jesus made a difference in you and I should live differently. You and I should live differently. And why should we live differently? It's because of what Jesus has done in our hearts first. So I'm going to show a picture here. It's not the greatest picture that you can see. I hope you can see it. This picture is actually called the Circus of Nero, or Nero's Circus. Nero was the emperor of Rome when Peter was in Rome. And it is suggested that this circus was before the Colosseum was built. The Colosseum was built in 70 AD. This was in the 60s AD. That 250,000 spectators, Romans, would watch these circus games. Think of it like entertainment, TV or live theater. But here there are some sport races as well. But in the late 60s, Nero decided to persecute Christians. Up to 5,000 people were crucified in one day with spectators watching, and they were followers of Jesus. This is where Peter was actually crucified as well. And history says that his wife was crucified just before Peter was crucified. And the last words that Peter said to his wife is, "Remember the Lord, be encouraged." Now, this might sound really crazy to us because you and I won't be persecuted like this, but it shows the test and the trust that we can have in Peter's words. Now think about this if you know Peter. 30 years before this, Jesus is on a cross. And Peter rejects the Lord 3 times, if you remember. And he runs away. And he goes back to being a fisherman. He goes back to his past life. And then the resurrected Jesus shows up and says to Peter again, "Hey, Peter, maybe you should cast your net on the other side." And instead of casting his net, he jumps off the boat and he runs to Jesus because he knows that's Jesus. And they have this resurrected breakfast and Peter's reinstated. 30 years later, he's willing to be in front of, we don't know if it's 250,000 people, but we do know that this is where he said his last breath, his last words. And the church history said he was crucified upside down because he felt unworthy of being crucified like Jesus. How can we say that Peter was so different? It's because Jesus made a difference in him first. And so I have to ask you, how do Jesus make a difference in you and I first? And so before we go to the next slide, just want to let you know that that circus is actually now the Vatican. So that, you can't see it, but that biggest pole in the middle there, that's the only thing that's left to Nero's circus. But the Vatican is where Peter, the rock, would build his church. Quite ironic. We barely know who Nero is, but we know who Jesus is because of these examples. And so what type of difference can you and I make because Jesus made a difference in us first? We have to ask ourselves, how does Jesus make a difference in our lives? Well, first, we see through these passages of Scripture that Jesus gives us eternal and everlasting hope. This context comes from salvation, and that word salvation means Zozo. It sounds really weird, but Zozo is S-O-Z-O. And Zozo means healing, meaning salvation in Jesus is healing. Now hear me today. Salvation is instantaneous in our hearts. He heals us in our souls instantaneously. Paul puts it this way, that if you confess that Jesus is Lord and that you confess your sins, that you will accept, that you will experience salvation. That's called instantaneous salvation or healing in the Lord. The second thing is harder. It's allowing salvation to be invited into every other broken part of your soul, your mind, your body, and your relationships. It's called a fancy word called sanctification. But God heals us continually to become more like Jesus. So Peter says, instead of putting your hope in the Canucks, Andy, rather than put your hope in money, rather than put your hope in a bank account or into your own preference or your Google, whatever you put your hope in today, set your hope on the things of Jesus rather than the things of this world. And ancient Rome, it was entertainment. In ancient Rome, it was seeing that Nero was a semi-god. In ancient Rome, it was to do whatever you wanted to do in the eyes of the gods to make yourself elevated and better and bigger than everybody else. But Peter says, including what he says to you and I today, is to set our hope not on the things of our secular world, but set our hope or our confidence on the things of Jesus. This is who Jesus and what Jesus has done for us. That's why we can sing great songs like the team did today, is because of what Jesus has done. He wants to heal us and make us whole in everything that we do, including our broken world. So I have to pause here. Maybe you're here today and you have invited Jesus into your heart and you're like, yeah, I'm going to heaven. That's awesome. Some people have said it as a ticket to heaven, or this is how I get to heaven. If I just confess that Jesus is Lord and know that I've sinned and that I allow Jesus into my soul, I will go to heaven. That is true. But the process of healing and sanctification comes when we invite salvation into every area of our life. That includes our marriages, that includes with our kids, that includes with our broken minds at times, and that's ongoing. It's inviting salvation in. So my question is, have you invited salvation into every area of your life? Every disappointment you've experienced, have you allowed Zozo to come and make you whole, even though we experience brokenness in this world. This is the difference Jesus has made into you and I. And so because that Jesus has called us to be different, then we can make a difference in our world. This is what Peter is really saying, is how that we live differently because of what Jesus has done in our hearts and minds to make a difference in this world. So Paul or Peter says, do not conform. In other words, do not align yourself with the things of this world and the enticements of entertainment or worldly success, but set yourself apart so that the world will see you differently. This has come from a passage of scripture in Leviticus. Some theologians believe that God only spoke in the first five books of the Bible, and everything else is commentary until Jesus. But we know that Jesus is the Word because he's holy, as Peter says. But in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44 to 45, this is why Peter is saying, do not conform any longer. And this is an ancient context, but it really means that if you live differently, people will see that you are different, and therefore they will see God in you. It was leading by example for the people of God. And so do not conform to the things of this world, but as obedient children, live for him. Live differently because of Jesus. A couple weeks ago, I was at the mall with Anik, and we had to get some stuff at the mall. And this is in Langley. We just live on this Langley border. And so we're in Langley, and we buy some things, and Anik gets into the car. I go back to the car. I open up the latch of the hood, put my stuff in the car. By the way, I'm wearing the Canucks, Vancouver Canucks hat. And I put the trunk down, and someone comes up to, in the parking lot, in the stallway, cuts it right off, and someone's yelling, Gabrick. That's my last name. Gabrick! And I turn around, and it's a friend I haven't seen for almost 30 years. And I said, hey, man, it's good to see you. And he gets out of this junky little car, and he's a big dude. He's like 6'4", but he's jacked. I didn't remember this jack guy. We used to play basketball together. And it was a day kind of like today, not as sunny as today. It was kind of rainy. And he's got these Hawaiian shorts on. He's got flip-flops on. He's wearing a Hawaiian like shirt with a muscle shirt that's maybe a little too tight. And he stopped. I haven't seen this guy for a long time, and he's calling me out. And I'm like, hey, man, I haven't seen you forever. And he gets out of his car, and he's wanting to hug me. So I'm not very tall. I'm like 5'7 on a good day, okay? So I'm like trying to like elevate myself to give him a hug, and he's coming down to hug me. I'm like, hey, what are you doing, man? I'm like, why are you wearing Hawaiian shorts? He's like, I'm undercover, Andy. I'm like, no, you're not. You're not undercover. What are you talking about? He's like, look at my car. And true enough, his car is full of, the dashboard is full of like all these instruments. He's like, yeah, I'm undercover right now, and I just wanted to come say hi. And I'm like, okay, well, you're a cop, so you probably could just block anything you want. And he's talking to me, and I'm like, hey, how's it going? So I tell him that I'm a pastor in Vancouver. I have kids. I've been married for 20 years. And he's telling me, man, I was married, but now my marriage is a mess. I have two kids. You know, I'm an undercover cop for 10 years. I'm like, wow, that's awesome. And cars are trying to get by. And he's in Hawaiian shorts. Like, no one would know. And all his instruments are, like, hidden. You wouldn't know it. It's this beaten-up car. But we keep talking, and he's like, man, I follow you on Facebook. Like, love what you're doing. Love that you're a pastor. Like, can you pray for me? I'm like, yeah, man, I'm praying for your marriage. I'm so sorry about this. Again, parking lot in a mall. People are running around. There's cars everywhere. He's in Hawaiian shorts with flip-flops. And we're having this deep conversation in the parking lot. And then he says, again, a tough cop, undercover, 6'4", muscles. He's like, can I have another hug, Andy? I'm like, yeah, man. I hug him. He jumps into the car and races off. And I'm like, I couldn't even say, hey, let's go for coffee. I have reached out on Facebook. So if he's listening to this, I hope you can hang out. But in any context, we live differently because people see us differently. And because of that, you reveal Jesus to others, even though you might not see it. Even though you might not necessarily even feel it, God is working in and through you. And this doesn't mean to be perfect. Some people read this scripture and say, be holy, therefore I'm holy. No, be different because of the difference that Jesus has done in you first. And because of that, you become a mirror of Christ Jesus. As obedient children, sometimes we mirror our own cultures, don't we? We mirror our background. We mirror our tradition or our experiences as children being raised in whatever culture you are in. But as followers of Jesus, we are raised differently. We are called to be children of the King. And we learned that last week with Pastor Tim, that you are actually a child of the living God on purpose here on earth to live differently. That's the clock. We're in renovations, as you can see, so we just lost the clock there. But we are called to live differently as obedient children. We mirror our families, but as Christ followers, we are to mirror Jesus. And so Christians is actually the term that was a nickname from Romans, the Roman people, as little Christs. It was meant to be a negative term. Oh, you are like Christ. Man, I wish I had that type of symbol, that you are mirroring Christ as a little Christ. And obedience here is to hear from God and to respond to him as obedient children. I have four teenagers. Yes, they listen to every word I say. If you are a parent, you understand. If you're a teenager here, you understand that perhaps there's some things that are hard to hear from your parents, whatever that looks like. But as followers of Jesus, when we hear God's voice, he makes us different because we choose to know that he has the best for us. Why? Because Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He saved us and was raised on the third day. So if we truly trust and know about this hope, then we would choose to trust in his word and his words for us and respond to his word as obedient children. So we not only mirror Christ as children, but we actually hear Christ and walk out the ways of Christ. This is harder to do because sometimes it's easy to say, yeah, I'm a Christian by word, or I'm Christian by faith. It's another thing to say, hey, I'm Christian by my works, by who I am, especially when we find pressure and temptation or expectation about the world or persecution, pushing people away, or sometimes our sinful nature wants to rise rather than perhaps who we are as Christ followers. But the longer I have found, and I'm not talking about a pastor here, I'm talking just as a person, the longer I have decided to hear the whispers and listen to the whispers and respond to the whispers of God in his word, I know that God has given me the ability, and you, the opportunity to reveal Jesus to others like never before. Like never before. And this isn't necessarily to be perfect. Doesn't mean that you have to be set apart and beat yourself up. No, it's to be different simply because Jesus made a difference in you first. So in closing, as we see on your sermon notes, I want to give you an opportunity to reflect on some of the questions that we say here at Home Church. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. But just the distractions that happened in ancient Rome, the height of the Roman world was when Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead. Entertainment was a big key in the Roman world. Theaters, gladiator games, the persecution of Christians, seeing Nero as a god, there was lots of parties for that. Nero's birthday, his bathtub, for example, could fit 40 people in it, and it's worth $1 billion today. That was Nero trying to be like this semi-god. What distractions do you tend to have as a follower of Jesus, like the ancient world faced? And let Jesus speak into those distractions. I'm not saying they're bad distractions. I'm just saying, do they distract you? And the Bible says, I love this passage of scripture, but it's from 1 John 1:9. If we confess these distractions, this sin to the Lord will heal us. He will set us free from our sin and then give us the opportunity to be filled with his presence. But you can't really necessarily get away from distraction until you name it. And one of those are our digital screens. But in any context, what are those distractions you might be facing? Maybe you're not distracted. Maybe you've experienced Jesus and you are very thankful for salvation, but have you allowed salvation to be worked out in your life, in your relationships or disappointment or in your world? How can you invite salvation in those areas of your life? We call it self-awareness. And you might have to actually speak it out. Lord, I invite you into this relationship. I invite you to give me wisdom with my workplace. I invite you into my anger or my frustration or my disappointment with my spouse, whatever that looks like to you. And what's amazing is that God actually speaks to us when we invite him to. And Zozo is experienced. It's not yo-yo, it's Zozo. It means healing. Healing in the Lord. And sometimes it's instantaneous, maybe it's physical. And other times, it's continual. And then number three, one of the reasons I'm a pastor is because of the difference Jesus made in me, but that's just my own story. But if you truly have experienced the difference of God's love and grace and kindness to you, then God calls us, just by our examples, to make a difference in this world. Peter was by far from perfect. He messed up many times. Even when he wanted to follow Jesus, he messed up. He was rebuked by his best friends at times. He sometimes marginalized certain people to hang out with others. Sometimes he wanted to give up. And other times he leaned in. And it was that Peter who wrote these two letters for us today. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to pretend or hide or blame or judge, Peter says. The best way to live in our world today is to allow the one who does make a difference in you. So that just simply by living it out, you can make a difference in others. And like I mentioned, no one knows who Nero is. Very rarely do people talk about Nero. But 3 billion people today, confess that Jesus is Lord because of Peter's. I pray that for your family. I pray that for your friends. I pray that for your marriage. I pray that for our church. That when they see home church, they don't see a church that's trying to be perfect or a church that's Chinese or Ukrainian or a culture church, that they would see Jesus, people that have made a difference and therefore wanting to make a difference in Chinese culture, in our neighborhood, on Main and 18th, in our entertainment district, in my friend's life, in my undercover cop friend life. So if that's you today, or if that's all of us, we believe that God is alive and real and wants to speak. So we're going to stand. I'm going to ask the worship team to lead a song. And we just do this at home church so that you can just reflect on those questions and respond to the whispers of the Lord. Maybe you have a special prayer or ministry need. Feel free to come up to the front because we want to pray with you. And allow God to speak to you. So God, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to lead us and to guide us. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to make a difference in our lives so that somehow, some way, we can make a difference in our world that goes beyond the things of this earth, but eternal into the things of Jesus. And that you would allow us to wait in anticipation, in expectation that Zozo would be experienced and encountered today. Healing in our spirits and healing in our hearts, our minds, our emotions, and our relationships. We pray these things as we worship together.